Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today we've got our regular crew, Nick and Randy, starting with Nick. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Drew?
I'm doing good. And how are you, Randy?
I am doing fabuloso.
I am so glad you're doing fabuloso. And I'm glad we all made this work. The audio listeners don't know it, but all of us had a billion things going on, and the stars have aligned to find this perfect time in the day where we're like, I think we can record. Let's get
Someone
this done.
Someone gathered all the stones.
Yeah.
Wrong we channel.
Used,
sorry.
We used PIM particles. No, okay. That's enough.
Stop.
Enough
said. Spoilers! No!
So in today's podcast, we're just going to be listing all Endgame spoilers at the same time.
Starting with Ant-Man and Thanos. The epic love relationship.
I can't believe everyone was right.
Never mind. Price
Anyways.
Cameo.
Yeah, we talked a lot about last week? We talked about Max. Mac OS and the iPad with our good developer Ethan, and we didn't get to talk too much about the next generation iPhone, but we have had some new rumors and leaks drop about that as it's officially May now at the time of recording this. Mm-hmm. May is when the iPhones head into mass production, which means that the leaks are going to be more and more accurate. In fact, pretty dang close to accurate at this point, and OnLeaks is pushing out these renders. Have you guys seen them? I don't know if you've had time.
Yes, sir. Yes, I have.
Okay. So I want to know what you guys think, because I, in video form, wasn't able to explain why very well, but something about the camera module being the same color as the glass on the back made it look better, and I don't know why, but I want to know if you guys have explanations in your brain for it.
Go ahead, Nick.
So I'm going to take it back to something very fundamental and very biological. Mm. You know,
turn on the Johnny Ive voice.
Yeah.
At a fundamental biological state, we are able.
Oh my goodness!
To be third eye woke.
Something yes. like that. Do you know how? There's been a lot of studies on this, but like even infants can recognize a face. They can place a face out of just a few dots. If you're like staring at the popcorn on your ceiling and you're bored, you see faces and you see things, right? Yeah, Randy, keep doing that. We know you're bored. We're very entertaining.
Wait, I'm trying to just draw the connection here. That's
yeah, me too.
So that's what I'm trying to.
Where are we getting at with this, Answeeney?
Where is this going?
So the three dots to me look like a face. Like the three dots and the little smile thing, like you got two eyes and a nose, okay. and then like the border okay. of the little, it looks like a little smiley face to me.
I have to go see what you're smoking right now, because I did not see that.
I didn't see a face, but I like this explanation. Like, keep going.
And so the little face makes me feel happy, because whenever I talk to Siri, I've always wondered what Siri looks like. And now whenever I talk to Siri with the next iPhone, I can just look on the back.
That is one way to take it, I guess.
I did not know that's where we're going. Do you see a face in this? I don't see a face in it.
She's showing me a picture for the audio listeners. I mean, I guess I can see a face of someone with, like, you know, like, they're making a circle with their lips, you know? They're like, ooh, they're making that face.
That's what
I think if
like
someone
like
had a stroke
iPhone.
And one side sunk in a little, maybe I could see it.
Have you seen that Hot Ones interview with Shaquille O'Neal when he like tastes the chicken wing and then he looks at the camera and he's like, that's the face I see. But no, I never made that comparison, but I'm glad Nick did. Thank you.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
So I know, I'm an expert comparisoner. Go ahead, Randy.
I'm a master comparisoner. So just for little podcast drama, I agree with you, Drew.
Oh, okay. Devil's advocate. No, it's good because I'm not good at explaining why I think it looks better.
So here's the I have two fronts on this, but my gut instinct on these bad renders, because you know they're not the official ones, I don't like the layout, because actually I think you were defending it, but one point that you made is exactly why I don't like it, and it's because I'm okay. I'm not a fan of asymmetrical. It's off-putting to me. And now you
it's
got
a
one
smiley
whole
face.
Side
it's not
that's
asymmetrical.
Completely asymmetrical by every sense. But no, that's not why I don't like it. I thought the videographer in me likes the idea that even if it's just an illusion, having that like blacked out all in one lens, even if multiple lens are doing things behind the scenes, to make it look more like a DSLR, I think it's sexy to me because I like those big lenses.
Okay.
I'm a fan. You know how like Marquez really likes 8K and he's really big of Red? I'm a fan of cameras in the sense of hardware and specifically lens. I think there's something that's kind of captivating by it. And this was kind of one step closer to simulating that while also showcasing that this is the next evolution of cameras and video in your pocket. But with that being said, the idea of these independent glass casings that will go on top of each lens seems more practical to me in a quality control aspect of just being like, I get it. But where I'm getting at is that I get it, and I like that better than looking at one big old corner squared off, piece of black on the back of the phone. The only way that would make sense is if you get the space gray, whatever iteration that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then it'll blend in automatically. Right.
If the camera module was circular instead of that kind of squarish design that we're looking at, like it looks like an app. If it was circular, I would like to have it all blacked out, and that way, whatever's happening behind the scenes. We have us. We're kind of trained. I think, like literally, us creators are trained to look at the lens and go like this, kind of guessing where the camera's at.
Right.
Audio listeners, I'm just kind of staring into the iPad's camera right now.
You're right.
So I know that I can't
soul.
See myself now,
it.
And I'm looking at you. I see you. I know what you're doing, and I'm judging. So, but yeah.
Okay.
So
I
like the idea
saying.
For some. For simplistic reasons, I like the idea of it all being kind of blacked out. But practicality of it all, it makes sense why it's easier quality control for each individual one to have its own casing for it. And I'm indifferent about it matching the color of the phone because I'm not back there enough to really care.
And you're probably going to get a black version anyway. So
unless they bring out a brand new color, I will either get space gray again or I will get if there's like a... product red or blue, or maybe a dark green. That's a whole nother conversation. But if they did something like that, I would do that. But if it's the same color that we have and they bring back rose gold or something, I'm sticking with black because
what color would you get, Drew?
I think I would still get silver. I like the look of it in these renders of that white back. But I think you bring up an interesting point as someone who vlogs a lot, being able to look at the iPhone lens. And know which one is like the main lens when I'm recording is kind of a big factor. And if they go forward with these designs with the three separate lenses, when people are shooting a video, a lot of people might not exactly know which lens is the...
Right.
Probably won't matter because they're so close together. But so on camera, it'll look like they're looking at the same lens anyway. But yeah, it kind of makes the person confused. Like, wait, where am I looking at exactly already? But... because I'm not sure what the configuration is, which one's the ultra-wide, which one's the telephoto. But, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
That's why you have me, Drew.
Yeah. No, that's why it's not just me. Exactly. The main reason I imagine they laid it out that way is probably because I think Apple and how they optimize things and how they try to utilize their hardware to the maximum, like it's probably not going to be as simple as just we added an ultra-wide. I feel like similar to the iPhone 7 Plus, they added the dual camera so you could have the telephoto, but it also allowed them to experiment with that portrait mode effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine them kind of taking portrait mode maybe to the next level for utilizing that ultra wide. And because of that, they needed the lenses to all be equal distance from each other.
Okay.
So there was no configuration where the ultra wide could be farther from the telephoto than the middle lens was. So they couldn't do the traditional stoplight design, as people referred to it. I saw someone compare the camera configuration on the back to a bowling ball, which is what I'm going to call this one. So the
it's a smiley the iPhone 10 face. Series. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I know. It's a bowling ball, dude. It's a bowling ball.
It's not
ball.
Smiling. That's my issue with the smiley face thing. It's doing it's this just, face.
It's Woo! A nose, Drew. It's a nose.
It's a nose.
Okay, you're making me have to look at this again because I don't see what you see.
I don't see the face, but...
Well, I guess you're not a human being because all human beings can see faces with just three dots.
Oh, that's an Elon.
iPhones can see faces too, but I'm just like... It's I like knowing that Nick enjoys the design because it looks like a smiling face. I just that warms my heart. So
well, I also do really like the silver color, and I think the renders that I've seen with the silver the glass camera piece matching the back, that's that I would be totally up for that. That would be
it. Also,
you
reminds
know, I go
me
caseless,
a little bit.
And that's
right, me
like,
too.
It would be totally
Doesn't
noticeable.
This- render
plus
like,
the thinner camera bump
doesn't the thing like provoke some type of phobia people have about like
yes that's a real thing
no
I forget the name of it but there is a phobia for
yeah
you're right it's try something that audience is listening
they're
going,
scared of
those
smiley
idiots.
Faces
we know what it is we know oh what it is
they're not scared of smiley faces I think it's more irregular holes though I don't think they would get it from that.
Yeah,
they're more afraid of like a bunch of holes that are not consistent.
Right.
Whereas that's
so basically the sport or the sport band or whatever that.
Well,
one
those
was
are the... consistent holes, so they would be okay with those, I think. But
it doesn't look out of place or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's basically, it's not a note out, but... a Galaxy Fold notch.
Yeah,
basically that's it.
I'm hoping you're right, Randy, because I think a lot of people are comparing this phone to the iPhone 7 release because it was like we were expecting a big design change, but it turned out to not be a big one.
Right.
But they tried their best internally and externally to make it feel different in as many ways possible. So they experimented with a lot of different colors. They added a lot of things that on the surface you don't see, but then in day-to-day you do notice. So like... with the iPhone 7, it was like the solid-state home button or the water resistance or the stereo speakers or the Taptic Engine improvements. Like, there was a bunch of little things that added up, even though on the surface, comparing it to a 6S, everyone was like, what did they do? It's all the same.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a very similar year with the 11 because people are going to look at the front, and that was the most disappointing rumor, I think, was that the notch wasn't shrinking. Everyone was like...
I kind of actually like the notch. I'm definitely disagree
I made
with
fun
the
of you
internet.
In my video. I apologize.
Yes, yes, he did, and
it,
I'm
really?
Okay with it.
What? Wait, why do what? You like the notch, Nick?
Okay, so first off, I'm sorry.
Like
I'm a little behind on the internet thing, so maybe
like,
I didn't
first
see that
of all,
video.
You better. Who do you think you're talking to?
The dot projector in the camera make a face.
It does.
On the front.
It does. I'm glad you noticed that. You're getting there.
I was joking. But
you know, if you look at the portrait mode, it really just looks like, and we designed it and engineered it to look like a face. And this face is a bald face, just like me.
You're full of baloney.
Tell me what you like about the size of the notch.
Okay, so for me, it's
Please.
A brand. Okay?
Okay.
So... when, I don't know if you guys remember this, but way back when, I remember iPhone 3G days. I remember I'd go through Best Buy, and I'd see the MFI, you know, made for iPhone accessories. And their little logo
I
for
MFI. I just figured out what that stands for.
Made for iPhone? Yes.
MFI. Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah. No, it's never knew that. Microwave infrared. I can't
Didn't
think.
Even work.
Exactly.
Moving on.
bad joke after another. That's the Tale of Tech podcast.
That's the Tale
come on
of
our show, anyway. Marquez, please. anyway, so the little MFI thing, it was just a silhouette of the iPhone 3G. It was a rectangle with a circle and a line above it. That's all it was. It was very simple. And that was so noticeable. If you showed almost anyone in the world any phone from a very simple silhouetted version of the iPhone, from the iPhone 2G to the iPhone 8 Plus, you would have had that same design. It would have been recognizable. It was a brand. What they did with the iPhone 10 is they've embraced the notch, and the notch is very unique in its shapes. It's like kind of rounded at the top and rounded at the bottom, and like the radiuses aren't quite the same, and it really looks nice. I like it. And I don't want them to change that because it's becoming a noticeable design. When you walk into Chipotle and you see them trying to Photoshop their app onto like a Android, whatever, and they use the iPhone notch, you're just like, that's an iPhone. I'm very sorry. Mm-hmm. There's not anything else.
But the Chipotle recently? Because I can honestly tell you, like, no idea. I'm like, sure.
I noticed these things because I see a face.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, tripophobia. That's what it's called.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, audience. I know you were yelling at this or tweeting it at me.
Tripophobia. Really?
Yeah. So there you go. Got it. That's how I picture them talking to me. Yeah.
So you're saying it's the iconic look of it.
It's the iconicness of it, and I wouldn't want
to
change that.
The home button was iconic too, Ann Sweeney, and look how that turned out.
It served its purpose for 10 years. 10 years. I don't expect the notch to last 10 years, but I expect the notch to be there until we completely get rid of the notch.
I expect an Apple logo to be there to be iconic.
A face. I expect Tim Apple's face to be at the top of my phone perpetually.
This is what happens when we don't do a podcast in sequence. I get worried about your health because everything's about faces with you today. And I don't feel like I'm being a good friend checking up on you, and I don't know what's going on with this. I'm worried for you.
This brings up an interesting question, though. So I want to know, because Apple's probably having the same discussion internally, and the audience may have their own opinions, because I have seen that comment that Nick made several times. Is like, that's the iPhone notch, and that's what makes it stand out. Now, to me, it's like, well, if they made it smaller, then that would be the iPhone notch. You know, like the icon changes with the design, not the other way around. That's just my opinion. I understand that we disagree, and that's fine. But Apple shouldn't try to even shrink the notch until they can remove it entirely or move to a camera hole? Or do you think that they should leave it exactly the same size it is until there's a way to completely get rid of it?
I have the perfect way to solve the notch problem. What you do is you take the notch and you flip it outside of the screen. And so you have a bump on the top of the phone, like the OnePlus.
OnePlus didn't do it, but there was an Android company that did that.
Sorry, it looked like the OnePlus notch. They
built the phone irregularly. Like, it wasn't a perfect rectangle. Like, it had a big tumor popping out the top.
But I called it a zit, but you can call it a tumor.
I like tumor.
Zit is tiny. And this is like
massive.
A noticeable tumor.
And this is way new. This is noticeable. Like, it's that awkward thing when you don't want to bring it up because you don't know if you're going to offend them. Hey, nice to meet you.
It's one of those things that functionally like works, you know, because you're like, hey, I guess the bezels are still thin and there's no notch, but you know, Apple
would never do that.
Well,
there's a notch.
Yeah.
So, I think they should be proactive in trying to reduce the size of the notch when applicable, and what makes the brand will be the software, because ultimately that's what we all interact with and engage daily, multiple times a day. Not so much for marketing purposes. I understand where you're getting at, Nick, with the whole like, oh, you can tell by the outline that's the phone, and we make that connection. But I think if we're talking about advertisement at that point, I think utilizing the features like the cameras that are coming to it and anything that's really push the software forward, whether even if it's AR coming inevitably as well, that is the most important part. And hardware is subject to change, just like doing away with the last port. I don't want to wait until wireless charging boosts it by 18 watts or whatever the new standard. If they're ready now and we can do everything wirelessly now, I will embrace it now, and I don't want to wait just until it's completely perfect. If it's good enough to be utilized today, then let's go towards that today, because it's the most practical use. And if it's like taking off the Band-Aid, it took over 2 years for people to be cool with wireless headphones and no headphone jack. So let's.
And some still aren't comfortable.
Some people still
don't
aren't.
Ask John Prosser.
But let's. Yeah. if we are ready to do it and that's what's going to happen, just do it now, because at the end of the day, perfect transition is we're going to have what really makes Apple grow. Is the services. Did you guys see the stocks?
Wow.
After the earning call?
There's that segue. Yeah, look, I wanted to talk about the earnings report. I know I did a video on it. At the time of recording this, it was like just dropped, and I spoke incorrectly. I said that Huawei made the Poco phone, but they didn't. It was Xiaomi. So I apologize, everyone. But all those companies blend together for me. They're not very individualistic. They all make cheap phones and sell all your data to the Chinese government. So it's practically the same company. But
I don't disagree.
Looking at the numbers, I sent you guys a link of kind of like the bullet points of the earnings report. The
TLDR here. Look at that.
Yeah. iPhones are going down pretty significantly in sales. Yeah.
We knew that.
Yeah. I have a few thoughts.
We knew that.
We knew. Apple knew that.
What is your thoughts on these
first
reports,
off,
Nick?
It was a blockbuster quarter for the iPad, quote unquote, according to Tim Cook. So that's how you know
or
he's totally
aluminum bending quarter.
No. The same person who's promoting the Apple Plus TV subscription is using Blockbuster as an example of how good an
he's
iPad
like,
that's
see,
not
I
the origin
it.
Of the word blockbuster, Nick.
Yes, it is. God.
It's not the origin, but it's probably what he's referencing.
Yes, it is exactly what he's referencing. So what I always watch on just about any company is their gross margin. I think that's one of the biggest indicators. People talk about revenue and stuff. And sure, you know, I'm an accountant. I've been doing this for 6 years. It is important, but I feel like the most important thing in any company is the margin. That's basically the difference between how much you cost to make it and how much you were able to sell it for. So Apple's margin is 37.6% gross margin, and that is about average. Their typical margin is about 38% within there, so that's right on par with what they normally are. And so because of that one number, I'm not worried at all. The perfect time to buy Apple stock, folks.
No one should be worried about Apple for sure, but I think it's interesting that, like you said, their margin is standard as their usual years are, and yet the iPhone sales went in the market share down 30%, which is quite almost a third. That's a lot. But it also
but
speaks
the whole
volumes.
Smartphone market is in decline. It's not just
right, unless
Apple.
You're Huawei. Right.
Okay. Good
everyone
job, Huawei.
Except Huawei.
I'm sorry. Huawei. Huawei.
Huawei and Vivo. Wow. Those are the two companies that had increased. Everyone else went down.
But if you look at
Samsung.
What kind of market they're targeting, Huawei and Vivo are completely different markets than what Apple's targeting.
It is. It's all the like night and day. They're
targeting
$500 phones.
The third world countries that don't have access to 4G yet, or you know, I don't know. They're targeting the international market.
No, they make really their money from the government, not from
That
sales.
Too. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, so they can price themselves super low. So it's
wait,
not,
Apple doesn't give the money to the FBI or the data to the FBI? I thought I saw an article about that. Yeah, they definitely do.
It was on you read the wrong article.
Put it up for sale. What did you think of these, Randy?
The fact that they, in every aspect of it, outdid what their projections were is telling, because what we see and what we knew is hardware as a whole is declining, and especially in the mobile market. But
yes,
I'm looking at the chart.
That's why everyone needs to go buy an iPhone right now.
I mean, I'm looking at it, and even the chart, like how hard it dropped is like phenomenal. But the fact that it didn't even put a dent in the actual net revenue that they took from that, because what saves them is that big little chunk right there called services. It's killing it.
And yes, it is.
People, you know, this is an ongoing debate that I've had with many, many people, even people who are like diehard Apple users that don't buy iCloud storage, that they have everything Google on their iPhone. They're like, it's free, it's unlimited, and we can back up my photos and this, that, that, that. And I'm over here like trying to work with 200 gigs for iCloud, but are there hackers out there that they really want to get into it? Yeah, they can get into anything if they really wanted to. But when you look at the security that's truly locked down in the Apple ecosystem, I see that their services is catching on, and I'm just thinking iCloud, and it's not even the fact that Apple Music has surpassed Spotify. It's not even taking into account like the pro applications that we would buy from the Mac OS, the App Store. All you put all that together, and it's growing. They have the biggest App Store worldwide, undefeated, and it's not even close. And
the services revenue is the highest it's ever been, which is interesting given most of the services they announced last month aren't even out yet.
No. True. It's compounding, though. And guess what? Uh-huh. It come, what, next month or in 2 months from now? I'm adding banking to my list of that thing. And that's something we all can't live without when done right. And because I put a lot of thought into this, a quick side tangent. The more I think about it, Apple's going to have their own bank. It's not going to be your typical you go to the branch and you deposit cash type of a bank.
Right,
it's going to do what T-Mobile did, what I see like Acorn and all these other little online-only apps that are banks, something that I use myself as well and is my primary. Apple is going to get into that because that is a very untapped market for a consumer base like that to make it cool. And if they can do it away, it was like, hey, we're going to teach you how to save money in the process. Everybody
and
needs
they know
an
it's something everyone needs.
Everybody
know?
Needs
it. It's really impossible to avoid that. So integrating it right into iOS, especially because if you take into effect all of the iOS users that aren't the tech enthusiast that listen to tech YouTubers or tech podcasts, just the everyday people, when they update their phones and suddenly see this Apple Card pop up, they're going to be like, oh, let me try that. You know, and it's going to be, I think, way bigger than the YouTubers or tech enthusiasts on the internet make it out to be, because we see that and go, oh, it's just a card service, whatever. But to the masses, which is what Apple appeals to, I think that's going to be enormous. That's going to be huge.
They've always wanted to have an all-in-one. They want to kill your wallet. Yes. They want to kill your keys. They're going to. This is just one step closer to that portion of it and I am all for that.
So, Randy, you're describing all these different services. Yeah. What it is at the end of the day, it's minimalism. Yes, like, we can tie everything back with Apple to minimalism. They don't want you to have to carry
Apple is my
they
dedicated. I'm actually
going to
be making a video about this. I've already started writing the script for it because I'm not shooting from the hip with this one. I'm diving into the parallels of the Apple ecosystem and how it actually inspired minimalists from the get-go, all starting with iOS 7's redesign and then everything kind of coming together with iCloud, because at the end of the day, simplicity at its foundation is what Apple always has pushed for within its elegance. And I think in some capacity, in one way, shape, or form, I think my biggest push that I try to put my voice out there is that we are all in some way, shape, or form tied or emotionally invested in some type of digital minimalism, in the sense that simplicity, it's one less thing we have to remember. Who doesn't want that? You want to make room on the mind for everything else that might be way more important in your life. And if Apple can help narrow all this down into a single service subscription of sorts, you will have my money for the rest of my life, because you're making my life better. Until something, you know, unless they really screw up or something, you know, of course things are subject to change. But I like the idea of building out your package in a sense. And if you can keep it all in one single ecosystem, one entity, I'm there. I'm all about it. So.
The other huge important factor about services, particularly with the Apple Card and the banking, is it makes it increasingly difficult to switch phones.
Yeah. True.
You know, like you're going to be so comfortable and accustomed to that once you get it, once you start using it. And if you try to switch to a OnePlus or a Galaxy or a Pixel, that's suddenly not going to be there. And they're really going to have a hard time replicating it. I'm sure they're all working on their own versions now. But
I'm seeing it now.
Apple's way ahead
like,
of the game.
Why do people have Mac OS and then an Android in their pocket? It twists my head a certain way. Because like, I see it now is that like you are losing so many features with content. They're like, no, it's fine. My Mac is just good for productivity and whatever. And I
that's like
that,
a green card marriage.
Yeah, you know?
It's like you're married, but you're not really that into it. You know, it's just to help the other person.
It's just because it makes me look cool. I don't understand this. I don't understand this whole trend of such that people, you know, I'm not going to name drop, but we can all think of them, who love to hate on Apple, then love them.
You mean Talos of Tech? Yeah, he's a
especially Taylor Swift. Clearly. You mean Apple? I'm sorry, not Apple. You mean Pixel Boy or whatever?
Yeah, Pixel.
His name was. Yeah, but my thing is like, why would you go so far out of your way to have some parts of it, not other parts, and then you're going to start hating on Apple for, oh, it's not intuitive as they say. It's like, well, hello, the ecosystem is Apple's business. The phone or the laptop or the iPad is just an extension of the true service of what you're supposed to get with Apple. You want iMessage for iMessage. You want Apple Pay for Apple Pay. You want how clean the apps are or how smooth or seamless the interface is. These products, the hardware, is just an extension of the soul. And so when you start hating on Apple because you have half the product with you, you're not really invested in that soul to even give it a fair chance. And people who honestly do and just put Android to the side and go, let me see what this is about, more times than not, stay. Because then they see it. My life is just simpler. My girlfriend was Android for years. And I got her on one iPhone, and it was a gateway drug to get her a MacBook and the iPad. And now she's like, she gives me crap every time I say, oh, I'm thinking about trying some Pixel. And she looks at me like, don't be stupid. She keeps me in check because it's real. Now, are there exceptions? Oh, sure. Not everyone has to like it. But the mass majority, if people understand that Apple, what they're really doing is trying to be another part of an extension of your life to make things simpler. Right. Mm-hmm. And you give it that honest chance. Unbiased, not for the clicks, not for the attention or for the whatever, you see the benefits. That's why you see everybody have some type of Mac OS at their disposal. Even if they're going to hate on it, and the keyboard's crap, and they just love to hate on it because it's cool for attention, at the end of the day, you're going to say all that stuff, but you're using it. Don't lie. You know, you can lie to yourself. You could try to lie to us, but really, don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to us. You know. You all know you can't do it.
It's like people who use AirPods with Android phones. I don't get it. I'm like,
yeah. Just... No, I have a couple friends who do that. I'm just like, I feel like that Italian meme. Like, you're so close, but you're so far.
I'd be like, why do you like that aspect, but not the operating system? I don't understand how that.
You like the worst part of Apple. You're like, oh, I don't mind this part. That's the worst part of Apple. Like, because that's when you start comparing specs, and if you do spec by spec, Android or anything else will outbeat Apple. You're not looking at it from the fact that it's efficient, just energy efficient. They like the worst parts of Apple, and then they start hating, like, well, it's not that good. You're not, you're purposely doing this with your eyes, putting blinders on, just not paying attention.
Right. Well, the other good news about the... Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to transition to a new topic as smoothly as I could, but go ahead, Drew.
Oh, sorry. I butchered that transition. I was going to say the other great news about the quarter earnings reports is that this is the highest iPad revenue growth rate in 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Which iPad's been out for 9. So, yeah, that's like it's exciting because for the longest time.
Yeah.
I remember for the longest time iPads were declining and they were getting less and less common. And I'm very excited now that they've kind of picked up their traction now, and we've kind of got a fire that's burning with the success of the iPads. So now that like the market can get more diverse for the apps on the iPad, and the number of people who legitimately are replacing their laptops is really going up. That includes you.
You
know, I just want to make sure that everyone on the podcast knows that I do use an iPad. I know I haven't mentioned this at all ever before. Just.
Oh, irony. You're speaking ironically. Oh.
And you hate the Model Y. Anyway, what were you saying, Randy?
I was going to say is that another call to attention I want to is that the biggest noticeable, at least from what I'm seeing with the numbers here, the wearables have.
Wearables boomed.
Huge.
50% increase. That's a lot.
They are super drastic. Touched. Like, no one's close to replacing the Apple Watch. Again, people who just like, oh, well, I got the phone and that's it. Why? I don't like having AirPods. Why not? This is the wearable. That's a big jump right there. And
oh, yeah.
It's
huge.
It's understandable. And I think that
a lot of it's AirPods.
In its infancy. We're about to see this blow up. Somebody, did we talk about? Somebody said they project Apple. The evaluation of their stock soon, within the next 2 years, going to increase up, because right now they're like, they're selling at a little over 200. It's going to, by end of year, you can easily see them breaking 300, 400, because the amount of, I don't want to say it's fragmented, because that's not really what it is. It's on the same ecosystem, but they're putting different categories of the overall same experience out there for everybody on all
diversifying.
Thank you. Diversifying. Yes. That was the magic word.
Yes.
The way that they're diversifying is amazing. And I don't know how this eyewear thing is supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
I can't, my little primate brain here can't fathom sunglasses that make me see into the future. I don't know.
So yeah. First off, Apple already has my $3,000 for the first pair of Apple glasses. That's just, it's already on the Apple card, just already paid.
That's a given.
Yep. But I kind of see they've created this ecosystem, and all these wearables are amazing. My Apple Watch, best watch on the market by far.
Mm-hmm.
AirPods 2, best wireless headphones on the market by far. Beats Free or whatever that was.
Beats Pro.
Yeah, the Beats Beats Pro. The Beats Power Beats Pro.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
okay.
The best. All right. Those are the best wireless headphones you can get. And they all of these wearables depend on the iPhone, and that's how they're going to keep the iPhone sales going. So as we go, in the next couple of years, where the iPhone is less and less exciting every year, iPhone 10 looks just like the iPhone 10s, and the 11s.
Yeah,
it's just all going to get more and more bland. We've already peaked. The iPhone 10 was the peak iPhone. Like, it's not gonna. We're not gonna see that massive jump again for a lot of years.
I agree.
But the I don't way think that ever, they're gonna keep to be people using iPhones is gonna be with all these wearables. Because sure, you can get an iPhone 7 and use AirPods and use your Apple Watch with an iPhone 7, but eventually that's going to die. And if you love your AirPods and Apple Watch so much, you're not going to even think about Huawei. You're going to think about another iPhone, whether that's the newest iPhone or 2 years ago iPhone. Yeah. You're still going to always choose the iPhone, because they've built these really good products that keep you locked in. The Apple Card is just going to add to that. And, we've just talked about all the whole ecosystem, but... Yeah,
all so those services.
That's their strategy. So they don't care if iPhone sales drop to 20% of their business. As long as that wearables and services is growing, that doesn't matter. The iPhone is just the anchor.
They're clearly anticipating it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they know the iPhone sales are going to go down further, and that's why I did the video, Apple's not even trying with the iPhone 11. It's because, they don't have to. That's not the end game anymore, yeah. It's not the long game. I snuck it in. No, that's what I'm saying. Is
I am inevitable.
They know the long term is we just need to have... We don't need the biggest loyalty. We don't need the biggest amount of hardware units shipped on the planet. We just need a large amount of people loyal to the brand that are going to enjoy the accessories, the services. Mm-hmm. So they're counting on we've kind of ballooned to as big as we can possibly get at this point now. It's just keeping those people happy and interested and excited for the next thing as much as possible. They're constantly looking forward to the next wearable, the next AirPods, the next watch. Will they upgrade their phone? Yeah, eventually. They'll some people, us three, will do it every year just because we want to. But probably the everyday people will do it every 2 or 3 years normally. And they'll be perfectly fine. They'll be getting all the new iOS upgrades. They'll probably be trading in their old one and getting credit. But that's not where the money's going to be made anymore. Clearly, if this earnings report is evident of how Apple's long term is going to be, they're making bank off the services, off the wearables, and off even the iPad.
and they can almost incentivize people to upgrade their iPhone with good wearables. So Apple Watch Series 3 required an iPhone 6. All the Apple Watches before the Series 3 could work with a 5S. And so I see them doing that with Apple Glass. When Apple Glass comes out, they're probably going to say iPhone 10 or newer, or iPhone 10s and newer.
Probably,
And that's going to be a big incentive because, if you have an Apple Watch and AirPods and an iPhone 10 and you really love them, and your 10's kind of getting a little old, it's 4 years old or whatever, and the mm-hmm. Apple Glasses come out, and they're like, oh, buy these, you know, Apple Glasses, you need a new phone.
The 5S is still being supported by then, too.
Yeah. The iPhone 5S running iOS 40.
Yep. It's hanging in there. They really made the first 64-bit device
totally
hang in there.
So if you guys remember... Kidding. If you guys remember Sumner, who we had on the podcast a couple weeks ago, he told me way back when the iPhone 5S came out, that is going to be the phone that's going to be future-proof. And I was like, no, it's not going to be future-proof. Like, it's going to be like all the other phones. And like, it stood the test of time. Like, what is it, 6 years now? Still supported by fully supported
by iOS? Yeah, 6 years.
My goodness.
Do you think that people have that phone because it's the 5S? Or to be like saying like, oh, 2013, or do you think people still have that phone that's being supported because they really, really love that design?
Probably both.
I think I know people with a 5S currently that are using it, and it's the type of person that's mentality is I will use a phone until it will not work anymore. And that's actually a pretty big number of people. That there's a lot that will legit, like, even if it's not getting iOS updates anymore, they're just like, until the screen does not turn on, then I will use this phone. Like, that's just their mentality. Even if they paid $200 for it six years ago.
Primal and Neanderthal.
It's not me, but
phone
it
not
works for
on.
Them.
Not on.
Right. It works for them. So, yeah, I mean, and Apple enables that. Apple's for it.
Yeah. Good on Apple. You know, like, they just don't get it.
Because, again, it's the
services. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the services they want you in, not the sale every... That's what I don't get in the market when smartphone shipments are getting lower and lower and OnePlus still wants to drop two a year at different times. I'm like, gee, oh, my God.
Are you getting one, Drew?
I'm tempted to get the Pro.
You know what you should get, Drew? You should get the Samsung Galaxy Fold.
I tried. Yeah. I pre-ordered it and everything. I got my confirmation, and then they sent me an email, and they physically called me to tell me it had been delayed. Yeah, a real person called me on the phone and said, hey, we have an update on your order on the Fold. We sent out some review units, and I'm like, yeah, I read the news. I get it. You know, it's fine.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who you're talking to? I am Talosive Erickson. I'm trying to merge the two. Did you talk to an American, or was it somebody from Korea? Because if it was Korea,
I couldn't tell by the voice, but it could have been either, I guess. But I just...
Andrew, we didn't let you know the phone is
next. I'm calling for my Samsung headset.
We were packaging your Fold, and it ripped in half while we were trying to wrap it. So we're going to try again.
A screen plastic display covering, no.
We're going to keep putting rubber bands around it until it doesn't fall apart.
And then it doesn't fold either.
Yeah.
We're just going to super glue it open.
Who would want to use it?
And it still has the crease.
Fold it up. Yeah. No, yeah, but I'm very tempted to get the 7 Pro because that 90 hertz display sounds dope, and it would be the first phone I've ever tested with a pop-up camera, and I want to know what that's like day to day.
Don't get sand in it.
I don't think I'll like it. I really don't. I honestly
doesn't
think...
like sand, Nick. It's messy.
It's
gets
coarse.
Everywhere.
It's rough. Coarse. It's irritating. It's irritating. It gets everywhere.
Yeah. He's holding me back.
Wait, I get like... Because of my psoriasis, I get like a ton of just dust and stuff in whatever in my pockets. Like I pull out my iPhone pretty regularly and I have to like clean it off. So I imagine with that OnePlus phone in the pop-up, it would probably break faster in my pockets. But I really hate that it doesn't, that I think right now it doesn't support wireless charging. If it does, definitely. That's my deal. The first OnePlus with wireless charging, I'll get it 100%. I'm debating making the exception just because I love refresh rates being higher than 60 so much. Like, I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. And anytime Wyatt uses his phone around me, he has that 120. And I'm like,
Drew, so good. It just works.
It just
works. Rise up, gamers.
Except, right.
Here's why. Here's
that
why Razor you got to get.
Phone has, no, it's buttery, but it's got big bezels. Whereas that OnePlus has no notch, thin bezels. And 90 hertz. I'm like, oh.
Here's why you have to get it. I think on principle alone that in the YouTube community that brand got smartphone of the year. I think it would be a good testament, if you will, to
testament.
The coming from one whole I'm not gonna say ecosystem, just coming from one operating system to another that is clearly doing something right and is very popular amongst not just the YouTube community, but I would say like mobile enthusiasts, those misfits, the Mavericks, the Renegades, the people who want to stick it to the man, et cetera, et cetera. Like, OnePlus branded themselves on trying to be the anti whatever. I feel like you should do it just as a, even if it doesn't have the wireless charging with the Pro.
An anti-anti-phone?
Because you will have it. Because as everyone should know, new listeners, hi, welcome to the Talos of Tech podcast. Drew actually and goes all in on the phone. He doesn't do the one in each pocket thing. His watch comes off. The texts become green. It makes me irritated.
Oh,
but he does it. And I think that if anybody would give it a fair assessment from the perspective of somebody who's very Apple, you know, background influenced as all, and we all have that in common, I feel like it would be a good point of view from you. People trust your judgment. When you like something, you don't shy away from Galaxy when you're liking the Galaxy.
No, not
so
at all.
I think we've established, it's fair to say, that you're not just blindly Apple sheep. The Pixel just sucks. But that doesn't have to say OnePlus will suck, but we won't know. And
yeah,
I nominate you because I don't want to do it.
Right. I think it'd be a great first one. Yeah. You know, it sounds like charging. It's interesting because, yeah, I would hate that. But what am I thinking? What am I trying to say here?
Yes, Randy, I'll do it.
Yes, I'll do it. I just think, given I was kind of revving up to review another Android and then that got delayed, it would be a good placeholder to be like, all right, it's interesting because it's OnePlus doing something they don't normally do. Because you're right, they kind of base their whole brand around being the anti-flagship. You know, like phones aren't supposed to cost this much and they should do all the basics and still be good and affordable. And now they're like, okay, but we also want to make expensive phones and we also want to make flagships and we also want to make, you know, higher
just
end
so
phones.
That we
and
can it's like, if we wanted to.
Yeah. It's like watching the guy who fought the man join the man, you know, to a certain extent. It's like, yeah, phones shouldn't be $1,000, but maybe $900, actually.
I'll show you what a real $900 phone should look like.
There you go. That's the mentality changes. And I even remember OnePlus being very vocal about keeping the headphone jack. And I was like, don't do that. And then look at them now.
Say the magic word.
And now they've ditched it altogether several times. So, yeah, I think they're willing to adapt to their markets, and I'm okay with that. I'm actually fine with that because I think OnePlus has made very premium hardware for the price, and seeing that makes me just want to say, imagine what they could do on that higher end budget. So yeah, as soon as I saw the 6T, and I was like, 550.
They started trying.
What if you guys like didn't have to keep it under 550? What could you do with that kind of money? And in my mind, it's like maybe put a Qi charger inside. That could be interesting.
Ouch.
Like this Note 5 that has shattered glass supports Qi charging, but the latest OnePlus phone still doesn't, and that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Is that honestly your only deterrent from the 6T was the wireless charging?
That's the main one, yeah, because it's just such a standard way for me to charge all my devices. Like no matter if it's the Pixel or the Galaxy, whenever I'm using my phone throughout the day, I have Qi chargers near my coffee table, near my desk, near my nightstand, and that would essentially mean any part of my day will now be replaced with, oh, it doesn't do that, let me grab the cord, and I have USB-C cords, but they're all for my iPad, and usually if my iPad needs to be charged, I just grab it and charge it for that. Now it's going to be, oh, I need to get a different cord so that I can charge this one also, or charge the OnePlus with the iPad, and it's just, it feels like a minor problem to a lot of people. I get that. It doesn't feel huge, but for someone who uses inductive like constantly, I'm charging my iPhone via Qi right now as we speak, and I'll charge it tonight when on my nightstand, and every morning I drop it on a Qi charger when I read the news, and like it's just such a normal thing that it'll feel like. Basically, if anyone has ever used AirPods for more than a month or two, try going back to wired earbuds again and tell me what it's like. It's like, oh god, nope. I can hear the wires moving. Mm-hmm. I can like I can't.
It paused away out from your device. Easier.
Yeah. What were you gonna say, Nick?
So, forgive me. I don't know.
Okay.
But did the Fold have wireless charging?
It does, and it also does. Has reverse work? Wireless charging.
The fold.
You have to keep it folded up.
Oh, okay.
It has to be in phone
didn't
mode.
Work. Okay.
But, so I guess credit where credit is due. They made the first inductive charging tablet, technically.
Ooh, true. Depending on how you
if you can call
tablet,
it a tablet.
A very gross, yeah. Overblown phone who's pretending to be a tablet. But
world's tiniest tablet.
Yeah, exactly. But if they were able to figure out, if Samsung was able to figure out reverse inductive charging on the S10 5G,
mm-hmm.
why does it still explode? That's my question. Smooth transition, folks.
As soon as you said 5G, it's like he's going to talk about the explosion. Apparently, I didn't read the entire story, but I've heard from other people that someone like tinkered with the phone and made
yeah.
it explode.
It's possible. Yeah. Okay. Nick is just being facetious just, right now because
yeah,
we don't.
Totally. Yeah.
There's not enough.
I know.
Too. It happens.
I appreciate the joke. I just know that one dude's going to tweet us. And
it wasn't an actual Samsung prop.
I knew we were going to get that.
Tweet me. I can't tweet. Let me know how wrong I am, please. I appreciate it.
I just think it's a little funny. Everyone gets all defensive, and I'm just like, hey, we had this whole problem, and then a brand new one comes out, and there's pictures of it blown up. And I'm like, I got to say something. There's a little bit of a joke there.
Because if you take the any Galaxy Fold, let's say the actual Fold itself, back
mm-hmm.
and forth. Back
and forth. And forth.
Eventually, it will do it. See, nobody wants to be all hypocrites, man. Hypocrites, all hypocrites. Oh yeah, hypocrites.
The double
Welcome
standard
to the club,
is real.
Randy.
Hypocrite. You're a hypocrite too, Nick. I don't know why, but you are. I haven't figured it out yet. You're a hypocrite. All of you hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite.
If I were to try a phone with a pop up camera, I think the 7 Pro would be a good one to try it with. Because I don't want no Oppo. I don't want no Vivo. Those are just weird.
But does it fold, though? It needs to fold.
Maybe. We don't know. It hasn't come out.
It's curved, right?
Can someone talk to their marketing department and tell them they're doing a horrible job?
Curving their displays. You're supposed to curve it inward now. it's changed. You're curved, not outwards, inwards.
I'm talking about OnePlus tweeting out, we made your phone slower. Like, guys, that's not... No one's excited about that. You just made everyone go, wait, what? Why would you do that? Why did you make our phone slower? Like, did you just brick all our OnePlus phones? Or And then they have to explain, no, we mean the new one.
It's so fast.
It's going to make it feel slow. Okay,
oh,
that's different.
Okay, that's
the, that's not the same
hashtag
thing.
Hashtag, you're holding it wrong.
Issue there, folks.
Or them tweeting, no bells and whistles. Which, bells and whistles are not a bad thing. It's just extra bonus features.
So basically,
features.
Flip phone.
Yeah.
It folds, though.
Saying no bells and whistles is saying, like, it's not, there's not that much exclusive. There's not that much exciting about it. It's just a phone. We made a phone.
If OnePlus fixes their camera problem, they have a real winner on their hands. Anything else, they're wasting their time.
What's their camera problem?
Camera problem is that the dynamic range
up.
Is the well that too, oh god no I'm just saying the photos themselves, never mind how we get there, that's
mm-hmm.
That's too gimmicky for me, but I don't like mechanical movements like that. That's not, I'm not about that, but
too many failure points.
The dynamic range is not the best. It's very noticeable. At least I'm referencing within the one 6 months ago. the audio, the stabilization, literally everything about the camera is, it's good for the price, and I acknowledge that. I accept that. It is
right.
Not good to make it compete. Now that they have a Pro, this Pro has to compete with
right.
the iPhone, Galaxy, Pixel, mm-hmm. LG or whatever. It has to actually stand its ground up there, because now that's a pro, you are entering the premium market. And what the first thing we all judge is photos. I don't know why. It's just what we do. And we're going to see another blind test. But I can tell you that if it looks like it was still shot on a potato, no one's going to be interested in it. They'll be like, it's a great phone for everything but the speaker and the camera. That's all we care about in the pro thing, because that's the thing that costs the most into it. If you're going to put that type of money into it, make the speaker better, make the camera better. And in that same notion, make the mic better then as well, if you're going to do all three. Fix that, you get that locked down, then they have an actual winner on the Android side.
Personally, I think blind tests are pointless in 2018 and 19. All cameras, even the 6T, are good enough for what you need to shoot on a phone that it makes no difference to me. Like, if you care that much about dynamic range and about color calibration and how
you get an iPhone more true to light,
it's like, no. You either get an iPhone or you should be shooting with an actual camera if you pick up on those kinds of things, or for some reason your daily life requires that kind of thing. Like, it's such a silly reason to pick one phone over the other. And I think it's one of those things that YouTubers over exaggerate and overhype, and I think it gets way too much attention, which is why in my videos I don't think I've ever done a blind camera test. Legitimately.
No,
I did one as a prank.
People on Twitter about.
Yeah. I was like, which camera took which picture? And it was like, it's all the same camera. I just edited the colors a little bit. Yeah.
Just adjusted the lighting.
I'm just like, all of the different phones you take pictures with these days, if it came out recently, it'll be fine. For what you need a camera phone for, it'll be fine. But yeah, the ultra wide being added to the pro is good, because I think that's the 2019 feature that everyone just needs to have. Everyone needs the ultra wide.
Can we just acknowledge, like, unanimously, everyone, that the Pixel?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. The strongest feature hardware wise for Pixel and software through it. It's not even the strongest feature out there. It's so below their, but the score says the great. Like, they stopped doing all that.
The
score said, we used to. No need.
What a
no
backfire.
Need. That's going to hurt me in editing later. But the point
what a
is.
A dumb marketing campaign.
It is.
They ran.
What a dumb phone it is. Like, OnePlus.
That's why they came forward in the earnings report. Did you see Google's? They openly said they've had a very hard time selling the Pixel 3 because of pressures in the premium smartphone field, which basically says everyone else bought better phones than the Pixel. That like Google said that. Their
really?
CFO. Yeah, they came forward and they were like, so it didn't sell well, mostly because of the competition. It's like
mostly of how it sucked.
Mostly because a lot of people were buying anything else.
Oh my goodness, they dropped almost $100 today.
Apple?
Yeah, Google's revenue reports were not great.
Guys,
see, I'm
it's
watching
a straight
the stock market
drop.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, Alphabet had quite a drop, but they'll be fine.
Day.
I just mean
yeah,
in regards
fine,
to the Pixel.
Time to buy Alphabet stock, folks. My goodness.
I don't have that type of money, Nick.
But don't worry, guys. There's a new Pixel 3 dropping in just 1 week. It's called the Pixel 3A. It's basically a Pixel 2 with a headphone jack, except the Snapdragon is a weaker chip, and it's made of plastic, although I think the Pixel 2 was made of plastic, so... it starts at $500.
What's the difference?
Big forehead, big chin. This is by far this. If I were to do a smartphone awards, this gets the crown. This gets the gold medal for boringest smartphone of the entire year we have ever seen. Even the cheap phones, like some company, I forget if it's Nokia or Nubia or some stupid name like that. They drop some phone that's like $180, and it at least has like pretty thin bezels, a pretty thin chin, a little notch. It doesn't have fancy features, like there's no Qi, there's no water resistance. But like even that has a good display. And Google's dropping this $500 plastic garbage for because the camera. And they're going to say, well, budget users get the headphone jack, but not the premium users. Not even the specs, Nick. Three Nick. Gigs of RAM on Android.
Nicholas!
That's trash.
You're better off just buying a Google Pixel 2 for cheaper.
It is pure fanboyism at this point. There will be no there. I'm telling you, if any YouTuber buys this phone or gets sent, they're probably using it already. They've been sent it at this point. it was leaked.
Wake up, Drew.
It was leaked in January. We've been looking at these pictures of the Pixel 3a since January, and here we are 5 months later, still haven't announced it. When they drop it and YouTubers say, well, it's the Pixel 3 in a more affordable package, it's like no one wanted the premium package. You just made the premium package even worse. Just because it's $300 cheaper doesn't instantly make it worth it. You're competing against the 6T.
It's now
you're competing against OnePlus 7 now. You have no reason to go with that phone now. There is no reason that anyone should be getting the budget Pixel. It's if anyone recommends it, it is clearly just because they like that it's made by Google and they like that that's it. They like that. They like that it's the hardware and software is designed together. The thing is going to melt. It's made of the same stuff crayons are made of.
Guys, what did we eat today? We're so feisty today. I love it.
Yeah. I think we better wrap it up before we have Mexican kill each other today? Or something.
As an active member of Team Pixel, I'm excited to get mine.
Yeah. They're going to give it to you in a fanny pack. The fanny pack, nonetheless.
Oh, boy. I think we lost the fanny pack. I'm trying to remember. The move is officially over.
I may
or
may not have stolen
congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
What did you do with it, Nick?
I'm keeping it hostage for when it's a collector's item.
What? Oh,
okay. I thought you were going to say you burned it.
No.
You burnt what?
Your S10 5G.
Ooh.
All that cancer in the room.
Ooh. Hey, Drew, if you need a fanny pack, I got one for you. I'm not in it.
Yeah, I see a lot of fanny packs these days.
Google the 90s are coming back, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Make it stop, folks.
Stupid designs. Google's like to celebrate
something better than fanny packs and Google.
Google said to celebrate stupid design, we're launching the Pixel 3 with this glorious fanny pack because it's horrible. They go together that way.
And the case, the infamous case.
The infamous case. What was your segue, Nick?
No, we're talking about you moving, which is going to be better than talking about the Pixel because I'm done talking about the Pixel because it
sucks
and that will never change.
Free. Drew's finally free.
I'm free. I'm out of there, and I miss nothing about it. It seems the audience misses it a lot.
Vote on this particular episode. Go on to the podcast. Give it some stars and stuff, because apparently subscriptions don't mean a thing anymore.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I get it, but no one does.
Oh my gosh. But go ahead and give these stars just for the fact that Drew is finally free. Chapter
three of the old stanky
chapter,
office.
New chapter. No moldy, rainy.
No mold.
Home. That is amazing.
Drew's completely naked during this episode. You guys don't know this, but he's filming naked because
well,
that's the luxury
change.
He has now. That never changed.
Well, I do thank you for bringing that up, Randy, because every time we do this podcast, I forget to do it. We don't say this often, folks, but seriously, leaving a rating on the podcast app does actually help us out. It pushes us up higher in the search results and the recommended. So if you listen to this podcast regularly, I think, what do we have, like 200 people who've rated us? That's cool. It?
I think more,
like 250?
Yeah, I think about 200.
That's only 250 people. There's like 6,000 of you guys listen to this podcast every week. We see the numbers. We have the stats.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Like, even if half of you, okay, even if Thanos snapped his finger and cut our numbers in half, then that would still mean we should have like 3,000 ratings on the just iTunes. I don't care about Google or SoundCloud. Screw that.
As of recording this, 236.
If you enjoy, we have 336 ratings?
236.
236. Oh,
thank you. Those are rookie numbers. Every one of the 236
those are rookie
of you.
Numbers. You got to get them up.
If you have left a rating, thank you. To the rest of you guys, please. It only takes a couple minutes, and it helps us. It goes a long way, and we would greatly appreciate it. This one wasn't even – this podcast didn't even have a sponsor, so
– not today.
Yeah.
It's free.
Enjoy that. It's free.
Free entertainment.
We ain't getting paid.
Come on. This is the least you can do. You do it once, and then you're good, and then you never have to do it again. Anytime you bring it up.
And while we're at it, the Talos of Talk podcast as well. You go over there. Go. Listen, no, guys. Okay. Hey, help the network.
If they listen to
it. Go subscribe to Talos of Food.
Just promote everything.
Promote it all.
Go sub to Pootie Pie. Oh, wait. That means
and Talos of Music. And all the channels. Anyways. Is there any last closing arguments?
I was kind of wondering if we could do this. I didn't ask you this before, Drew, so feel free to shut it down and we can cut it out even. Can we do
a little to shut it down.
Endgame spoilers review?
What? Too soon.
Too soon? Oh.
Maybe Nick on
dies.
A different podcast.
Okay. Nick- Fine.
Nick dies in the next episode of the next podcast. I want to talk about Endgame, but I'm pushing my time, so
okay.
I'm gonna have to wrap it up.
Can we get an invite to that video one? Yes. Much to say.
Let's do a Google Hangout on movie reviews. On
Google
YouTube.
Hangout? Ew, what's that?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Because it's gonna go away soon. Thanos is gonna snap his fingers and erase all the Google services.
At least he's doing something right for once.
Yeah. Hashtag Thanos was right.
Oh my gosh.
Well, alrighty. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for rating this, which we greatly appreciate. Even
Please.
If it just takes you a couple minutes, it helps us out a ton. Leave a rating. All right. And we will see you all later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.